right. Well, we thank the Lord to be here with you this morning, and thank you so much for letting us be here with you. Before we get started, we'd like to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for the blessing that we've already received today, being here, dear God, that you've already blessed our hearts and encouraged our hearts, Lord, and you know your will for this time, and we know that it's not possible without you, Lord. We desire your Spirit to speak now in this moment, God. Let it be nothing of us, but Lord, all of you, God, and help us all to open up and receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk to you about a burden the Lord put on my heart about remembering God. And I'm not talking so much, remember God, remember his name, remember, you know, that he exists, but remembering who he is and what he's done in our lives. You know what? Can I ask y'all to come up? My family. I didn't went very specific there, was I? We have a little song that goes with this message, so I want to go ahead and have them sing it here.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all the shadows all across my path. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my confusion, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Yes, thank the Lord.
I want us to remember that.
Yes.
Okay? That's the point of the message as we go through it. I maybe could just sit down right now and just have you remember that. But I want you, as you're remembering God, I want you to remember that He's bigger than any mountain that you're facing in life. Well, y'all can keep that in your mind, huh? Remembering God, that's okay. A short enough title, shouldn't be too hard. All right, let's look in Psalm 77. Psalm 77, and we're going to read several of these verses, but you might want to take your little placeholder there and put it in that spot, because we're going to turn over here and read a story in just a second and then come back to it. But I want to read the first verse before we do that. And this first verse is kind of introduction to what he's fixing to talk about. This is the summation almost right at the beginning, okay? And he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me. Now that is the summation of what we're going to talk about this morning, and it's what I want you to remember. How many times have I cried to the Lord and he has heard me? Okay, young people, be encouraged. I imagine already if you've chosen to live for the Lord that you've experienced this a little bit, but I'm going to promise you, maybe your experience bank isn't quite as big as some of us who've lived a little longer. But the Lord will be there for you too, okay? So remember this. This is true. He was there for David. He's been there for us. He'll be there for you. And he gives ear to our troubles. Well, not to get too sidetracked, but that reminded me of a story about who God is. And I want us to turn over to John 18 to see Jesus, who was God in the flesh, the Son of God, come down to us. And I want to see this little story of what happened here. 18 and the 10th verse. All right. And it says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Now, this is somebody who's coming to take Jesus away. This is in the garden when they're about to take him to the crucifixion. All right? And Jesus knows that. He's been telling his disciples that. He knows it. He knows it clearly. And in the process of them coming to take him, one of his disciples grabbed a sword and cut off one of the Malchus' ears, one of the high priest's servant's ear. Okay? Now, you see right here that he rebuked Peter in this next verse. He said, "Then said Jesus to Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" So we see the rebuke, but I want us to turn over to Luke, the 22nd chapter, because there's something more that Jesus did right here that's not listed in John. All right? Luke 22, and 51. And this is picking up after the ear has been cut off. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. Now, there's a point in taking a moment to just step aside and read this story. This is not a disciple of Jesus who was following him and was trying to do everything Jesus was saying and trying to do just perfect. And then something happened to him and Jesus helped him out. This was the enemy in the flesh, so to speak, of Jesus. This is the one where he talks about, you know, loving your enemies. Well, this is an example of who God is, that he's not just telling you to do things that he's not. Okay? He reaches out and he picks up the ear and he puts it on and he rebukes his side from doing any more damage. Now, if God would do that for an enemy of the cross, would he not do it for you? I say he would do it again and again and again for his children. And when we remember God today, if we don't remember anything else, I want you to remember, not only is he bigger, but his love is bigger. And if he would do this for the enemy of the cross, would he not do it for you? Yes, he would. So let's look back over here now in Psalm 77 where we were. All right, now we're going to pick up the story. I said the first verse was kind of the summation of what actually he was going to share with us. So we're picking up the story here, and he's talking about how he went through a hard time in his life and the process of what kind of happened there. And it says, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My problem didn't give me any rest." It didn't go away when the night came. And maybe it was even worse because I had no distraction. "My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted." My soul. Now, there's an illustration here that he was trying to look inside of him and somehow get himself to calm down, to be comforted, to lose the fear, the hurt, the whatever the situation he was going through, to try to somehow find a balm for that. But he wouldn't be comforted. He couldn't find out how to do that. And he says, "I remembered God and was troubled." Well, when we remember God, we want to see the trouble end, right? But that's not what was happening. He remembered God and was troubled. It's still going on. At what point is this going to stop, Lord? At what point is it going to stop? "I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." This is a process, and as he remembered God, yet he was still overwhelmed in the midst of it. Somehow, he just wasn't quite getting it yet. "Thou holdest my eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times." I'm looking for something that can help here. "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." He didn't just say, "This is just where I am. This is where I'm stuck." He said, "There's an answer here somewhere, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it at some point and be able to get this victory that I need." And it says, as he did that, he began to remember some things. He began to remember, not just remember God, as it said before that. Yes, there's a God. Yes, he's all powerful. But he began to remember who he was. Bigger than any mountain. Bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or not see, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my questions. He begins to remember these things. He said, "Will the Lord cast off forever?" Well, no, he's never done that. He really hasn't. I mean, I've been through some places and maybe some took longer than others, but the Lord was always there with me. If I just took another step, if I just took another day. It's okay. I mean, this is a big problem and it's a big situation, but he's never cast off and he's not going to start today. He's not going to change at this moment in time. He is who he is. He said, I am who I am. Well, part of what that means is he doesn't change. He is God and he is always God and he is always who he is. So he starts remembering this and he says, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promises fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Is this what he's doing now in my life? He had those questions, but he's beginning to remember in these questions that no, God never does these things. He is always faithful. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. I'm having to dig deep, but I'm going to remember who he is. Not just that he exists and that he's my judge, but that he is my healer. He is my helper and he is faithful. I will remember who he is. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? He won't desert me, and this thing isn't going to overcome him. Thou art the God that doth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Now, this is where he can have that summation we talked about where he said, I cried unto the Lord, and he gave ear to me. Because he's getting to the point of really remembering who God is. Well, what do you remember about God this morning? And I want you to think about that. I'm pausing on purpose in the Lord right now for you to think about what you remember about God. Is he faithful? Always? Okay, he's faithful. Has he ever failed one time? In any situation, has he ever failed? Has someone truly kept putting one foot in front of the other and there was a moment where God said, you know what? Can't do this. No. No, you know what? And I know there's an element of faith there. Because you say, well, this life still goes on. Well, he's been doing this for years, y'all. He's been doing this, and there's been a lot of situations that people have walked through and just put one foot down in front of another. There's nothing, what does Solomon say? There's nothing new. It's just another day, so to speak, in the Lord of us walking through the things that people have walked through before in this life. And there's not been a time where someone truly just put one foot in front of another. Not that they knew what to do, not that they knew how it was going to end, or where the end of the road was, or any of those things. But they just got to a place where all they really could do, was it say in Ephesians, having done all? Stand. Stand, and having done all? Stand. Oh, well, I got that. What's the other answer? Well, just keep doing it. Doing what you're doing. That is the answer. There's not another answer. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. God's not going anywhere, and it's not anything going to be bigger than what he can carry us through. That made me think of the scripture over here in Philippians, the fourth chapter. Common scripture to us, but let's look at it here. Philippians 4. And we'll start, well, I think let's just start back with the sixth verse, actually. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Guess what that means? Your situation too, right now. That it applies to that. Everything. 2,000 years ago, this word came to be put, to be said, okay? And it still applies today. In everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Another step. Lord, I prayed it yesterday. And you know what, Lord? I didn't just pray it yesterday, but I prayed it like 1,000 yesterdays. You know? Well, there's been people that have prayed 1,000 yesterdays. Until they got their answer today. All right? So we keep praying in supplication. That this is the way through what you're going through. Whatever it is right now in your life, whatever's happening, this is the way through it. Okay? Another day of prayer. Another day of supplication. Another day of putting it in the Lord's hands. Another day of establishing that faith that sometimes you might even struggle to feel. But just being determined in your mind that this is God and He is able. Another day of praying and supplication to Him. Putting another foot forward. That's that other foot going forward for another day, Lord. I'm going to be faithful again because I know, where will we go? You have the words of life. You are the one, God. And however I get there, you know, there was a person in Pilgrim's Progress that had a crutch and was limping, but he made it. He didn't care a bit about that crutch when he threw it away. When he made it to the celestial city, there's no more problem. You know, that was well worth it. There's no problem. I don't mind that. It's kind of hard to walk on a crutch, but you know what? I made it. That's how I made it. So another foot, another day, praying again and again, putting before the Lord what our needs are and sharing them with Him. Open up our heart to Him. Another day of Him being faithful and not stepping away from us. Continuing. And you know, what do they say? The worst thing can happen is that I wake up in heaven. Do you know that? That is the worst thing that can happen. In the eyes of the world, that's what that means, is I wake up in heaven. If I'm a child of God and I'm walking with Him each day, then the worst thing is waking up in heaven. And promise you, that's not, it'll be alright. Okay? It'll be alright. So it says, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And there's an important thing here that we have to get a hold of in our life. And I pray that God will help us, help me, help you, help all of us to understand that the peace of God is not troublous. You may have some nerves sometimes in the middle of the peace of God. You may have some problems. You may have some fears. You may have some struggles in the middle of the peace of God. You may have those things. But the peace of God is there to overwhelm them in your life as you take step after step each day. The peace of God which passes understanding. This is a part of why it passes understanding. Because I continue going and it seems like peace only works when things are like this, right? But I'm in trouble. I'm in problems. But here's the peace of God still with me, still helping me, still carrying me on one more day through this thing. That's who God is. That's who we're remembering today. This is God. And it says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Well, we're not, I know, Lord, but this is just, no, He'll keep it there too. You just put one more foot in front of, one more foot down and go one more day. It's prayer and supplication before the Lord. Continue to do what you know to do in Him. And the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because see, oh, Lord has to get us to some places in our life where we know we didn't make it on our own. We know we there's no question left in my, I've been there. I've been in some places where I'm like, Lord, if you let me go here, I'm gone. There's nothing else I can do. That's a scary place, but yet that's where the greatest peace comes from when you really see how He's faithful in those places too, to carry you once again, to be with you and to be faithful. So He will keep your hearts through Christ Jesus. A power outside of us, inside of us, but beyond us. The power that passes understanding. All right? And so it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. We're talking about God here. And I know we use this in a little different way, but I want you to know that this is who God is. And if the devil's battling your mind and trying to paint a picture of God that's something besides this, he's lying and don't believe him. If you believe that, then you're believing a lie and the devil's got a foothold to start destroying your faith in your life. The Lord is nothing different than these words right here. This is who He is. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, any praise, think on these things. Remember that that's who God is. He's not who the devil's trying to paint in your picture, in your mind, in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your hard times. He's not that person. He's not that image that Satan's trying to to make you think He is. This is who He is. I promise you. The Bible tells us, but I promise you, I can tell you that. David could tell you that. There are people around you that can tell you that. That the Lord has been this in their life, and that's what He's been. Lord, help us. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Just do them. The things you know to do. We've said it already, but we'll say it again. Keep it up. Don't fall back. Don't be discouraged. Don't let go. Don't think another way is the answer. Don't look to something else. It says look to Egypt. Egypt is a type of sin. Don't look to sin. Don't look to things to try to handle your situation, to somehow make it through that. Don't. Those things are not going to help you through. Satan knows they can. He can't sell them on the basis of what they really do for you because nobody would buy them. But in our hard times, he tries to paint a picture that maybe they're the answer. And they're not. If you could see the destruction, the problems, you think you have problems now, you want to see them compounded, go ahead and believe the lie of the devil and begin to pursue those things to try to fix your problems in your life. And you'll find out the lie that they are. But don't do it. Just believe me. All right. Believe the testimony of the Word and of His people. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Follow Him. Be faithful to Him. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, you know, there was another place where where Jeremiah was in a pretty low place. In fact, that, you know, they named the book Lamentations. All right. And it says here in Lamentations 3 and 1 through 20 is a lot of verses. But I want you to see what a low place that this was that they were in. Okay. So we'll try to read them quickly here. All right, it says, I am a man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness and not into light. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He's in a low place. If you feel like you're in this place, this is the truth of the matter, that we come to these places and we wonder, God, why have you let me be here? Here's what it is to me. It's darkness. Why are you leading me here? I can just place in my life, I can just vividly see that God, just, I don't understand how this is your will for all this to be happening. But the Lord was teaching me things that built a foundation for me to go on forward in my life, to stand when other things came that would have knocked me over, but I had that to stand on. So there's a purpose, but he's in a place where that's the way he feels, okay? So he's saying, you have led me and brought me into darkness and not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. This is a testimony of Jeremiah, okay? Remember, this is like one of us standing up and giving a testimony, okay? Very important. Follow that. That they, as they that be dead of old, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He is in a low place. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret place. You know, I've been through some hard places in my life, but I'm not sure I've ever been where Jeremiah was in this place, okay? But anyways, he hath turned me aside. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And I'm beginning to feel kind of embarrassed that I said I'd been through a hard place, to be honest, y'all. But anyways, he hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. This is what I can remember. And this is who the devil was trying to tell me God was. And it's all I can remember. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This is all I can see right now. But then, we're not going to stop right there, okay? I told you 20 verses. There's actually a couple more, okay? All right. This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It is of the Lord that I'm taking one more step this day. It's Him. And wow, isn't that incredible? In the midst of all this, that I got up and was able to take another step today. That's a miracle from God. How could I do that? Has to be God. You know, sometimes we're just seeing the trouble. We don't see the power that God's putting in us to help us be able to make it through that time. That's amazing. If we could really just see that, and I know we're human and probably it's going to be a struggle, but if we could see that, Lord, there'd be a rejoicing. We could actually have a rejoicing in the midst. Well, that's what it says in one place in the Bible. Who passeth through the valley of Baca, of weeping? What does He do? He turns it into a well. And He goes on to talk about it. But that's amazing. God, it has to be You. Because otherwise I wouldn't be taking another step today. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have a hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. This is who God is. That's my problem. That's the situation that the devil's trying to use to destroy me, but God's using to build something in my life. All right, to teach me something, to get me where I need to be with Him, whatever the case may be. But in the end result is the same, that I stand on the rock and not on the shifting sand. That's what's happening. That's what the Lord's going to do. And it's of His compassions that we're not consumed. It's of His compassions that fail not. Oh, thank the Lord. They are new every morning. Great is thy faith. You know, when I got a torn fingernail and it was hurting a little bit and then I managed to make it stop. Well, that's something. I mean, thank the Lord for that. I'm not mocking that. But if that's all the problems we ever have, we may not see the real greatness of God. He's bigger than just that. He can handle some bigger problems, y'all. I mean, He wants to handle those little problems too. Bring them to Him. Don't misunderstand me. But He can handle some bigger ones too. All right? When it gets bigger than that, that's okay. It's okay. God's got this. All right? He's still got it. All right? And to Him, it's about as hard as fixing your fingernail. And it's just one or the other. Is it easier to say, rise, get up and walk, or say, thy sins be forgiven thee? The Lord can, I mean, there's no problem. He's got this. All right? And so it says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed. That brings to mind a verse in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, set of verses here. And in the midst of these verses, I just have to say, I'm sorry, it's not 1 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians. Is what the Lord gave me for my life first. And I mention that because in my life, I started this journey knowing I wasn't going to make it if there wasn't a power besides me. That's where I came from. We all come from different places. There's different things God's got to go. So this kind of message today, it's kind of speaking to just the nature of who I am, just in my personality. I have to know there's something bigger than my problems. I'm not one who tends to just take the bull by the horns necessarily all the time. I have to know there's a greater power. And that's what this verse is about, okay? Let's look at this. It says in the 5th verse, for we preach not ourselves. You know, if you want something different, Lord help you. I hope you don't this morning. But I don't want, y'all are great people, wonderful people here. I need something more. I need something more. I love you. I'm glad that you need something more too, and that's why you're here this morning. You need something more than me standing up here. If I'm up here preaching myself, it's not going to help you. But that's not what we're preaching this morning. I'm not preaching, look, I did it so you can do it too. That's not going to work. That's Egypt. No, that's Egypt. This might overwhelm you, but for the Lord, the ways would overwhelm us. All right? It says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. You remember the one how the peace of God was going to keep you through Christ Jesus? That's who we're preaching this morning. The one who's got the power, who's well able to handle your situation in life. It says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for God's sake. For Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Not just that He exists, but who He is. The glory of who He is this morning in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. Now this is my life verse. We have this treasure in earthen vessels That's us. We're the earthen vessel. But we have a treasure here, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are not preaching ourselves this morning. That's not going to cut it. But there is something that can make it. We have a treasure in the midst of these earthen vessels, that the power is of God. And God's not overwhelmed. If we in these earthen vessels will just take another step, if we'll just say another prayer, if just one more time we'll bring our need before the Lord, then the Lord has the power in the midst of us. Not pulling us along, not saying, yeah, come on, get going, but within us to enable us to rise up one more day and make it one more day. And that's all it takes. One more day, because at some point our days will be over. And if we just make it one more day, then there will be the everlasting day where all the troubles are gone. The flesh has to die. We have to decrease. This is part of how it happens, y'all. It's that place where we know it's only by God that we're going to make it another day. And we get up and go. The world lays down and dies spiritually in the midst of those situations. But God can cause His people and anyone who will choose to follow Him to rise up and take another step. Yes, thank the Lord. Because it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. This is the power of God. Not that there be no trouble, but that when we're troubled on every side, we're not distressed. We are perplexed. Not that we're not perplexed or wondering what's going on sometimes in our life, but we're not in despair. There's the power. These second words are all things of just of no more hope. It's gone. But we have a hope. All right? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and read that next verse. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Oh, I hope you remember this morning. If you remember God, you remember that He is faithful, that He is able, that He is a power within you. If you've invited Him in this morning, if you've asked Him in, if you've chosen Him, then He has chosen you and He will enable you to make it through whatever comes in your life. If you will simply just take another step, not in your own strength, we're not talking about just getting up today and going out and doing whatever, but in prayer and supplication, acknowledging God in all your paths, and He will direct your steps. I know I didn't get that verse quite right, but that's what it means. That's what it says. Then the Lord will be with you. This is who God is. I pray and hope you're encouraged this morning to just remember who He is and just to keep on going in your life. Whatever you're facing, don't stop now. Just take another step and continue to look to the Lord for the help you need in life. You pray for me.